See, we all want to enjoy our lives, we do. But sometimes we carry stuff around in our hearts that robs us of that joy, like unforgiveness. We blame other people, but the reality is it's up to us to deal with the unforgiveness. I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program today as we take another look at this whole joy thing from a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet, How to Enjoy Your Life. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you genuinely enjoy the life that God's given you. We've all been in a place where we've been hurt by someone. Maybe it was just being ignored or excluded from something, or perhaps someone went out of their way to stab us in the back, or maybe it was something really big, like being abused as a child by someone we trusted, or being betrayed by our spouse, or going through divorce. I don't know anyone who has a shortage of those things in their lives. I know many, many pastors who've poured their hearts and lives out for the people in their churches who've been hurt by those same people. Sometimes with devastating effect. And when those things happen, our innate sense of justice tells us deep down that this is wrong and it shouldn't have happened and that person has to pay. They owe me. I have to have justice. You've experienced that feeling of outrage just as I have. The problem is sometimes we hang on to it for so long, it saps us of our joy and our freedom and life itself. Now, last week on the program, we talked about God's joy, the joy of the Lord, this wondrous gift from God. Not some fleeting happiness hit, but a deep, abiding sense of joy, something that as you look around at the lives of other people, seems to be in incredibly short supply in this world. I want to continue this week to look at one of the things that robs us of that joy. Jesus made it abundantly clear that he wants us to experience his joy. He said, I am coming to you now, Father, but I pray these things while I'm still in this world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. The they being his disciples, and also he was praying specifically for you and me. Now, he prayed that just before he was crucified. If you like, you can read that prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And the important thing about joy in our relationship with him is not so much that it makes us feel good. It does, and it's a wonderful and indescribable joy, but that the joy of God, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says exactly that. Don't weep, don't cry, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now think about it. In a relationship between, say, a husband and a wife, if the two are really enjoying one another, how much easier is it to serve each other and to sacrifice with each other and to remain faithful and to put up with each other and all those things we know we should do in a marriage? On the other hand, if the husband and the wife aren't enjoying one another, well, it becomes a hard grind. When the relationship is joyless, then we do the things we ought to do based on the promise that we made. We have to grit our teeth and fall back on the marriage covenant. Now, that covenant, that promise that we make to each other as husband and wife when we get married, is a really important promise. And sadly, in today's world, it's too easily trashed. But which way would you rather it be? A marriage full of joy, where serving one another just flows out of that joy, or a hard grind that always has to fall back on the marriage covenant? It's a bit of a no-brainer to me. Now, let's just stick with a marriage relationship for a moment, because it serves to illustrate one of the ways that the devil robs us of our joy. In every marriage, husband and wife do things that hurt one another. It just goes with the territory. I know some days I'm so busy and focused on what I'm doing here at work, I forget just to put my arms around Jackie, my wife, and just let her know how much I love her and how much I appreciate her. And sometimes that's okay. Most times it is. She understands, but sometimes it hurts her. I didn't mean that, but it just happened. And sometimes she'll do something or say something that hurts me. And sometimes we as husband and wife have to talk about those things, and it's important to set them right, and it's important to change our behaviour, but other times you just let them go by. They're small, they don't matter, you love your wife, you love your husband, and you just let it go through. But here's what happens in a marriage. Unless these things are dealt with, resentment builds up. Niggles away and niggles away and niggles away, and then bang, the thing blows up. Now, there's two ways of dealing with those relationship issues in a marriage. The first one is when the one who's in the wrong accepts that they're in the wrong and apologises and we forgive them. That's easy, isn't it? But secondly, sometimes the so-called person in the wrong doesn't accept that they've done something wrong. They don't even see the problem. Or maybe they didn't really do anything wrong in the first place. It was just us. But we still have to let go and forgive them. Now, the second one happens all the time. Let me give you an example. There are some shows on TV I really like watching. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I love to come home from work and watch the news for half an hour. It's how I unwind. It's how I relax. And most days, Jackie's happy with that. She understands my need, but some days she just really like to sit down and for us to talk, and she'd like to share what happened in her day. We do that too. But can you see how conflict can arise here? Now, let me tell you, we've worked this out so that both of our needs are met. But can you see how if we hadn't, resentment could creep in over something as little as this? And there's a word for this resentment. It's called unforgiveness. And we carry that unforgiveness round in our hearts, and it robs us of the joy of the Lord. See, the two don't coexist in our hearts. Unforgiveness and God's joy won't live together in our hearts. Why? Because God is in the forgiveness business. And so he takes away his joy to encourage us to forgive. Listen to what Jesus says about this in the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of those who sin against us." And again, just a little bit later in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus says, "For if you forgive those who sin against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive them their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sin." And the joy of the Lord only happens when we're in close relationship with him. If we're a distance off, if there's something that's come between him and us, we don't experience his joy. And so if I'm not forgiving you for the things that you've done against me, Jesus said, and this is hard to swallow, but Jesus said it, if I don't forgive you, God's not going to forgive me. And if God isn't forgiving me for things, then I'm not going to experience his joy. Because he wants me to forgive you. The devil loves unforgiveness. It's the easiest way for him to rob us of our joy. And the longer we hold on to unforgiveness, the worse it becomes. And because the joy of the Lord is our strength, we lose our strength in Christ. We become a target. Unforgiveness is the foothold of the devil. And sometimes when we're struggling and we don't experience the joy of the Lord, it's because we are carrying unforgiveness around in our hearts. The answer is to forgive, to let it go in our hearts, to let go of our right for restitution or revenge, to humble ourselves before the Lord. And then the joy of the Lord returns. There are times in life when joy seems to be completely unattainable, you know, a million miles away. And yet it's right in the middle of those times that we most need God's joy. Indeed, when God most wants to give us his joy. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called How to Enjoy Your Life. And it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you genuinely enjoy the life that God's given you. And you know, at the end of each chapter, you'll find a series of life application questions to help you think through what God's saying to you about his joy and then apply that right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on the offer, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular book will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.